Good morning. Today is Wednesday, 24th of April. Joining us this morning. Flyboy, Cody Rogans. Good morning, guy.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm a little concerned. I mean, you adjust your hat as soon as the mic is open?
We got to get serious. We got to get serious.
Oh, jeez. So before we get into anything serious, what do you think about the Coyotes moving from Phoenix to Salt Lake?
You know, I think it's great for the Salt Lake community. I drive through there.
Boy, that's annually. Way out on the old limb.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good for the community that wins.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. But, well, I got more. You know I always do. But, I know there's a big following in Phoenix. There's been some issues with the stadium, by my understanding, from afar. But they also have a lot of snowbirds, don't you know, from Minnesota down there and the upper Midwest, kind of hockey country, as I call it. But I think they're going to try to get things figured out in the future
I think they're supposed to be an expansion again.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, hopefully the folks down in the greater Phoenix area have hockey to watch in the future at a little larger arena than a 4,000 or 5,000 seat stadium and bring that whole hockey experience to the community. So.
Well, they can't move to Las Vegas, so.
Exactly,
heck, right?
Exactly. And yeah. I have to say on the hockey topic before we get down to business, I recently went to San Jose to watch my Minnesota Wild take on the Sharks, and the Sharks have had a really difficult year, but the entire stadium was full for their last home game of the season. So that was really cool to see, and the Sharks fans, as always in the South Bay, were super friendly and fun to watch a game with. So.
Oh, really? They're not like Pittsburgh or?
Or Chicago or Nashville. Yeah, or, yeah. The list goes on.
Nashville's.
And on. They're serious about
their
hockey over there. Yeah.
So it's kind of like Philadelphia.
In Denver, the Avalanche fans, they're real serious too. You always banter a little bit and have fun, but the Sharks fans are always super friendly. So it's a good place to watch a game.
All right. One last question and we can move on. Do you know how they have uniforms? You know, you go to the basketball, you know, you'll see Thompson and Curry jerseys. You go to football games, you'll see jerseys. How many hockey jerseys do you have?
Well, so here's the thing for the true hockey fans listening in this morning. They'll back me up on this.
Both of them.
It's a sweater, Brian, not a jersey.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
I know it's thicker and heavier.
The tried and true hockey fans still call it a sweater, and I think that's derived from when they actually used to be a sweater, more sweater, standard sweater material. But
it's called wool.
Yes, yes. but they're... They still call them sweaters, and we are now proud owners of a San Jose Sharks sweater, too. We got selected to go down on the ice after the game. We had to cover up the Wild gear that we were wearing, but I only own one, to answer your question, Wild.
So you don't
sweater.
Go to the concession stands then?
No, no. I'm
just curious how much those things cost, because those other ones are... I mean, from little old me, massive.
Oh, they are, but I
and
bought
they don't, and they don't fit.
I bought mine on sale years ago when they were switching. You know what the sweater looked like,
okay.
and I also have one from my alma mater, the University of North Dakota, in the closet too. So, which is where I really fell in love with hockey. So
in the closet.
Well,
that's where you fell in love with hockey.
No, Brian, here we go.
You have like a secret TV
at
in there.
At college, I fell in love with hockey.
So you wouldn't want to have a Boston College gift?
No,
sent.
No. That'd be wicked awful.
Oh, it would, huh? Idea is now planted. All right, you ready for your trivia question this morning?
I'm never ready for this, but let's do it.
All right, I know you're a big cat lover. So here we go.
Wrong.
Why do we call male felines tomcats?
I have no idea. Does it have something to do with tigers or other creatures in nature that are related to cats?
No.
No. That's my best shot.
A 1760 book titled The Life and Adventures of a Cat became so popular that from then on, all unneutered male cats were called Tom, after the book's feline hero. A female cat that has procreated is called a queen, a title easily understood by any cat lover. Attitude. Okay. Legend has it that one such cat lover, the great Prophet Muhammad, once cut off the sleeve of his shirt before standing rather than disturbing a sleeping cat. So see, there's all kinds of connotations. You had three shots at that one.
Yeah, back to 1760 and all that. That was interesting.
I thought you knew how to read.
I do.
But apparently, definition out of the Midwest is a little different than it is out here on the coast.
The topic that topics that I read about is never
not cats?
Feline related. So, yeah.
Oh, geez. So what's exciting out at the airport? Is the parking lot progressing?
Yeah. Real excited to report. We're just about to ink the contract and sign all the paperwork to get that project underway. That has been a really, really long road to get to that. We've worked really hard. The whole team has to get to this point. In working with the FAA to get those funds secured and get deadlines where they need to be for us to perform this project. So we plan to start May 15th is what the contractor's telling us.
Wait a minute. May 15th?
Yeah. This is going to conflict with Brian's travel plans here.
On the 17th.
You see?
Yes.
I knew it. I could tell by the look on his face.
Do I get the Cody parking lot slot when I get there on Friday?
We'll definitely cover that. No.
Right. No, I mean in McKinleyville. No. I'm not talking about down in Fortuna. No, I don't want that parking slot for you.
Well, those boots are made for walking, right? We will have some different phases that we go through in this project. So I did want to just ask folks to, drive carefully, be conscious, and courteous, please.
Being conscious when you're driving
is
good.
Yes, yeah. Well, you drive every day. It's not truthful for everybody on the road. But, just there on Airport Road and Airport Loop Road, we're going to have a lot of activity. So please, pay attention. Don't be looking at your phone, all the things that they talk about, not being distracted. But a lot of equipment and personnel moving around there through those different phases. So we just ask for everybody's patience while we make another improvement to the airport for the long term. So
there will be changes. Don't rely on muscle memory.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets. More than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Cody Rogitz from Humboldt County Aviation Division.
Department.
Are you a department head?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Jeez, 4 years in, and now he's just figuring this out.
No, I remember the divorce.
Yeah. I don't call it that. It's very smooth. Tom and the Public Works team.
You call
team
it a transition?
Yeah, they've been awesome to work with through that, and nothing but helpful. They're a good crew over there at the Public Works Department. So.
Will you have lunch with them today?
No.
Okay. Good.
Still waiting for that invite. No, we talk fairly regularly.
I would suspect that there's an awful lot of back and forth.
Yeah.
You had mentioned, Cody, that the FAA linked parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're not planning on putting airplanes in the parking lot.
Right.
Hopefully.
Right.
Okay, so if that's the case, why is there involvement from them rather than, I'm thinking like SFO or some of the really large ones, that I would have thought that either Public Works was involved or the equivalent of Caltrans, if there was that kind of involvement in overpasses. the FAA still has jurisdiction, or is this an advisory role?
No, they still have jurisdiction. So if it's on airport property, so the county owns our six airports, and then they hired me to take out the trash and clean the bathrooms, as I always say. But the FAA always has federal regulatory authority when it is airport property, even though it's county of Humboldt airport property, and the county can do with it what they'd like to do in the long term. They still have to follow all the FAA regulations, and that's where our funding primarily comes from when it comes to infrastructure development and improvements and repairs and maintenance. Is the majority of that funding comes from the FAA, and every time you take that funding from them, you're signing on to continue following their policies and procedures and regulations for another 20 years. And there's
actually, so even if you didn't take any money, you still have a 20-year horizon that they have influence?
When you take that money, that renews the clock, if you will, for another 20 years. Folks that want to read into it, there's some happenings down in the Southern Bay area right now, particularly in Santa Clara County, surrounding a couple of Santa Clara County's airports and what they want to do with them long term. This is something us airport geeks and aviation geeks have been following from all over the country, what's going on down there in Santa Clara. But they're just debating their current leadership, being their electeds, on what they'd like to do with those airports long term. And for the time being, have decided not to take any federal funds. So essentially they've stopped that clock as they continue to debate about what the long-term plans are.
So they have a little flexibility then.
Right. Yeah. Down the road once that 20-year clock runs out. So
whose rules are more strident? California and the Coastal Commission, Humboldt County and Planning and Building, or the FAA?
Well, I always tell folks that aren't familiar with FAA regulations, but have an interest in starting to learn about them, that you have a lifetime of reading ahead of you, because there is literally tens of thousands of pages of regulations. I believe aviation is the most regulated industry outside of maybe the medical industry. But I'm not sitting here today complaining about that, right? That needs to be that way.
That's job security for you, dude.
Well, it's not.
You got to know.
I'm not thinking about it from a personal perspective. I'm speaking more from an industry perspective. We have the safest aviation system in the entire country. And yes, that includes the recent headline-grabbing affairs that have happened with one particular aircraft manufacturer. And the door that unfortunately went out, and luckily nobody got hurt. You and I talked about that a little bit last time I stopped in, but we still, with that happening, are moving millions of people around the country with our airport system and our aviation system each and every day of the year. And
are there a lot of collisions, crashes, accidents, whatever you want to call them, outside of America? I mean, we don't seem to have any coverage at all of this continent called South America.
Right.
And there's a couple of people that live there, and there's some commerce that goes on there.
Mm-hmm.
But we never hear about it. If you compare the two, how close are they, or how perhaps unsafe compared to our standards are they that travelers might want to pay attention to?
Yeah. So if a U.S. airline is flying there, or they're flying from a U.S. airport, you know, even if it's a South American airline-based airline, flying from a U.S. airport down to Sao Paulo or Rio de Janeiro or Argentina, wherever it might be, they have certain rules that they have to follow and meet those safety standards just flying into a U.S. airport and then turning around and flying back to home base. So, yes, it is safe to fly on non-U.S.-based airlines to and from South America or anywhere in the world, because the FAA, working with the International Civil Aviation Organization, which is kind of the FAA of the globe, if you will, they have agreements in place and standards that have to be met for those aircraft to enter U.S. airspace and then turn around and go back home, so that people in America have a peace of mind flying on whoever it might be that they purchase a ticket to travel wherever they
So it's not like Indiana Jones.
No, but that, I will tell you, there are some developing countries around the world that don't sign up for those, that, you know, if you make enough hops around the globe, you might find yourself on one of those. So you certainly want to do a little research if you're going to a country that's really on the up and up, but not fully to U.S. standards yet.
It's 8:30.
Forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Cody Rogitz, Humboldt County Airport Department Head.
There you go. Don't care about the title at all, to be honest.
The regional airports, the big boy airports, I'm sure you get questioned. I wouldn't say beat up, but maybe that could explain some things. Questioned about... what airlines, how many, how often, how come, why the price? Let's see, did I leave anything off the top five list?
No, you pretty well got it covered.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there anything changing in that arena, or is it still pilot shortage and the recession and inflation and those basic business elements that are handicapping a lot of industries?
Sure. Yeah, it's been a wild ride, honestly, Brian, in regards to those topics that I get asked about all the time, which is cool. I enjoy talking about that stuff when people approach me and I'm out and about in our community. But the wild ride I was referring to, I got here in 2018. You know, we had started climbing. We got Denver started in 2019 with that daily direct connection on United. And then, of course, the pandemic.
You still must be getting more accolades about that Denver flight than probably anything else you've done.
Well,
even more than the parking lot potential. I mean, that is so cool to avoid.
Yeah, I do. But in all honesty, in my position, I get way more credit than I should when something good happens. And I get way more blame than I personally feel I should when something goes awry. But that's part of the process, yeah, right?
And
that's
fine. For that one.
Yeah, absolutely. Not complaining at all, but it truly is a team and community effort when it comes to air service development successes. And I always tell folks when I'm talking to them in the public, I always get the question, why did we lose so-and-so? Why did this happen, right, in the airline industry? The number one driver is whether the community, not Cody, or Cody and Brian, but did the community support that route once it showed up? Did we fill that aircraft enough to make a case for that airline and the decision makers there to keep that limited resource in our market, or is it an opportunity elsewhere where they're going to pull it and put it somewhere else where they think they can make more money?
It's not ROI.
Right. It's not a feelings game. It's not a, well, yep, we love Humboldt, so we're just going to put this plane there and we're going to keep it there for the rest of eternity, right? It's where is the best opportunity, and they're constantly analyzing that. You talked about price and big-time airports. I just got an email yesterday, responded to somebody, a community leader, on, hey, this event's going on. do you think we could get a discount for the people coming to town for it? And my response was honest. No, I don't think you'll get a discount. But if you talk to the people that are attending your event here in Humboldt, you know, we're super happy they're coming in. We want them to utilize ACV. Thank them for flying ACV. But if they have some flexibility on their travel dates, then they might find an opportunity to save some money on the airfare.
So a strategy on the scheduling side.
Right, right. Yeah. And I get a lot of questions all the time on, well, the schedule change, this and that. And, you know, yes, I think our airport's the most important in the country, right? I'm a little bit biased on that. But the airline network planners and schedulers, they're constantly analyzing schedule. And okay, the aircraft that we're utilizing or the different aircraft we're dedicating to ACV to connect it to Denver, that's performing well. Way to go, Humboldt. That's great. But there might be other variables they're analyzing and have to move that schedule around to try to maintain that performance as far as load factor and price point that they're trying to achieve and the connectivity on the other side once you get to Denver. In fact, we'll see that this summer they're going to be dancing that schedule around in particular, and it's trying to match those connecting flights once you get to Denver, because the majority of our traffic that leaves ACV and goes to Denver, their end destination isn't Denver. It's connecting onto another flight to go somewhere else that they connect to. So,
yeah. What was that part of the initial thought, is that people would be going from here to Denver or Denver to here?
We do have a considerable amount of people that utilize that and really? Then end at Denver.
What's in Denver? Some hockey
team. The Wild beating the Avalanche? Yeah. Now, that's a joke, but yeah.
Is there the opportunity for seasonality?
We definitely have seasonality here. We have the January through March time frame is consistently year after year, every year, our slowest months when it comes to passenger traffic. That is true for the vast majority of U.S. airports. There are some outliers out there when you look at.
I'm sure Hawaii does pretty good.
Hawaii does good, but you also look at like an Aspen, Colorado, right? Their traffic
flying into weather.
Right, right. Their traffic picks up because of snow season and a variety of other ski destinations or winter destinations. But the majority of airports, their busy season is almost directly parallel to ours, that May through September time frame, when the kiddos are getting out of school and people take time off to do a family vacation.
Tied to the school schedule, I would think, would be a significant
shift. And then around that Thanksgiving holiday, and when I say around, I don't mean just the week of. We always get press coverage around the country, and often our local media comes up to interview me around Thanksgiving because everybody knows it's some of the busiest travel days of the year, right? Which happens, but it builds up before Thanksgiving.
I would think it would be the Friday before Thanksgiving. I mean, if you're going to go that far to somewhere,
right?
It's not a one-day trip.
But it's all of November we see maybe not the first week of November, but that latter half of November or second, third, fourth week of November, we see an uptick in passenger traffic. We also see it that first week of December with people still coming back or going back home, if you will, from Thanksgiving, and then we see that around Christmas and New Year's as well, a multi-week period where performance goes up.
It's funny, I would have thought, you know, would have obviously flunked the test, but I would have thought that, okay, Thanksgiving is a period, Christmas is a period, mm-hmm. New Year's is a drop dead.
Yeah.
New Year's Day, the day after New Year's, and the day after that, I would have thought, just looking at everything, would have been the three most busy days of the year, because you can't, you're not extending that. It's a hard day.
It is, but a lot of times it depends year to year on what day does that holiday fall on, right? On when you're trying to find the busiest travel day of the year, which the national press loves to talk about, and it'll be on the headlines and everything. Oh, it's the busiest day. Like, it's shocking.
It's
right?
lazy news.
Yeah.
You just plug it in every year.
Yeah. But I think it's cool. I always read it myself, but it's like, okay, yeah, of course it's around Thanksgiving. And of course it's around Christmas. And of course it's around New Year's or the 4th of July. Like, that's when people want to go, you know, travel. with their loved ones or to their loved ones and hang out and take a break. But
it's probably parallel to the cars.
Yeah.
Road traffic, same.
Well, and yours truly, I was the other night looking ahead and trying to shuffle dates around, just like I recommended to others here a minute ago. But trying to fly home for Christmas this year is going to be an expensive endeavor for me.
I mean, your second home.
Well, don't you know, you can't lose it. But I'm looking, what are we, 8 months out from Christmas, almost to the day now, right? And it's going to be an expensive endeavor for me, but I'm going to just monitor that over the next few months and try to find when prices drop, which I have no control over. I pay full price just like everybody else does. And try to find that soft spot to save a few bucks. But that Christmas holiday this year falls on a Wednesday. And so who knows what the busiest travel day of the year around Christmas is going to be this year. Is it going to be the Friday of the weekend before? Is it going to be the Sunday of the weekend after? Is it going to be, you know, Christmas Eve or the 23rd, which is a Monday? You know, but it's people trying to target where they have those few extra days off of work and utilize their time off to, like I said, go be with those loved ones.
Well, so I won't have a stocking on the Christmas tree for you then. Sorry, dude.
I wouldn't have expected it anyways.
Yeah, well, you never know what's in there. KIS News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Cody Rogitz from various places in Humboldt County.
All over.
All airports.
Yeah, there you go.
How do the airlines find out if there's demand for a route that they might be contemplating? I've never seen a customer intercept study.
Yeah.
So I don't think, you know, if let's say all of a sudden we all wanted to fly to Cheyenne.
Mm-hmm.
There was big demand for Cheyenne.
Sure.
Okay. You're not going to be able to find that out from enough people. Do they just kind of follow the itineraries and see where people end up and then try to then use a matrix of some sort to determine whether or not that would be viable?
Sure. I'm going to, before I answer that, flip the question here to you for a second, Brian, and ask, do you carry a smartphone in your pocket?
No.
Okay. Well, not right now, but I've seen you use it, so I know the answer there.
I will have one around.
When you leave the office today, will you be carrying a smartphone in your pocket when you get in your truck?
It'll be in the truck, and then when I probably shouldn't be saying this one.
Okay,
but when I get somewhere, it stays in the truck.
I do not
carry it with me.
Okay, that's fine. But
I called him once he answered in the shower.
Okay, so if you drive to San Francisco, your cell phone's with you, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and your wallet's with you, right? And you
hopefully.
And you use your.
That'd be a really short trip, then.
Right. But you use your credit card. And so to answer your question on what do the airlines look at when they're looking at potentially starting a route. That's what we actually, myself and Diana Rios, I think I've had her here one time with me. She helps me with that from the economic development team. We go pitch to airlines, but we look at the data ahead of time and we see where that travel demand is, but it's based off of credit card and cell phone data. So if Brian Papstein drives from his place here in Greater Humboldt to San Francisco.
Ooh, mystery address.
Yeah, leaving a cliffhanger. Tune in next time. No.
Yeah.
If Brian Papstein drives from Eureka down to SFO and has purchased an airline ticket from there and then travels to Maui from SFO rather than flying from ACV to San Francisco and then on to Maui, that's tracked as a passenger
from our home market because your cell phone's registered here, your credit card's registered here. We don't know that it was Brian Papstein. We're not Big Brother tracing Brian and his travels or his purchases or his cell phone, but we know that there was a cell phone registered here in Humboldt or a credit card registered here in Humboldt that purchased that ticket from SFO direct to Maui rather than from ACV. And with that, we last looked at that data or had it pulled and deep analysis, which you only do every so many years, in 2019. We didn't want to look at 2020 because our statistics and things everybody changed. Else's yeah. fell off a cliff, right? So that was kind of our last full year pre-COVID. Now here in the next year or two, we probably want to get that data refreshed because there's certainly been some changes we are capturing with Avello's addition to the market. A lot of leakage, which is Brian driving to SFO and flying out of there, not ACV, because our biggest leakage was actually to the Oakland International
Airport. That's where I think Oakland or Sacramento.
Right, yeah, and it was Southwest Airlines specifically at Oakland that we were losing a lot of passengers to, and that's what Avello's.
Can you invert that? Invert that? Find out where people are coming from?
Yeah, we can. That's a little deeper dive than we've done. We've looked at it, I'll call it from the 30,000 foot level, but we haven't really dived into that. We're looking at the local market. So folks primarily within a 90-minute drive of ACV, and where are they traveling to and what airports are they utilizing to travel to those destinations?
So where do we go in general?
Oakland and SFO are our two biggest.
Where are we ending up?
Oh, gotcha. So actually, Seattle's a big market for us to the north. San Diego is the biggest to the
south. Probably for the military.
Yeah, Las Vegas is another big destination for us. But
another shock and awe there.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. That one's been tried here recently, and we didn't quite make it through, but... you know, that doesn't mean we're going to quit pitching that. You know, we had a certain amount of capacity and a certain amount of Las Vegas operations with Avello when they were here on that route. But that doesn't mean we're not talking to other airlines that might have a smaller aircraft that we could fill up a couple, two, three times a week and meet some of that demand.
So it's a marketing equation.
Yes.
Shock and awe. Everything boils down to that. Thank God. Thanks for coming by, bud.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
See everybody tomorrow.